Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and today is day 19. Grateful to be with you as we continue on this journey. Let's pray, asking the Holy Spirit to come and give us everything we need to receive the truths of this offering and to have the generosity to respond. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 19. Three objections. At this point, we've learned what the offering to merciful love is not. An offering to divine justice. What it is. An act of mercy toward Jesus. What it costs. Our hardness of heart. And what it frees us from. The fires of purgatory. Now, before we begin looking at the text of the offering itself tomorrow, I'd like to cover three potential objections to it. The first objection has to do with yesterday's reflection on purgatory. Now, some of us may have read it and thought that perhaps Trez is encouraging the sin of presumption by telling us to believe that we can bypass purgatory. Well, she would be if she were telling us we can expect to go straight to heaven without sorrow for our sins and without making a firm purpose of amendment. But that's not what she teaches. In fact, her emphasis on trying includes fostering a sorrow for one's sins and making a firm resolution not to sin again. So if we object, then maybe we're simply looking for justice. Maybe we think Therese is being too indulgent. Maybe we want people to have to pay more for their sins. Well, in that case, we'd just be disagreeing with Therese and siding with Sister Febroni. Sister Marie Febroni, the 67-year-old sub-prioress at Therese's convent, had heard about the 19-year-old novice mistress's teaching on purgatory. She didn't like it because she thought it was presumptuous and too lenient. So she confronted Therese about it. In response, with love and kindness, the young nun calmly tried to explain the matter, but Sister Febroni would have none of it. Finally, Therese ended the discussion by rather boldly stating, "My sister, if you look for the justice of God, you will get it. My soul will receive from God exactly what she desires." Before the year was out, Sister Febroni caught the flu and died. 3 months later, she appeared to Saint Therese in a dream. Convinced that this was no ordinary dream, Therese reported it to the prioress, who documented it. Now follows that documented report in the saint's own words. Quote, "O my mother, Sister Marie Febroni came to me last night and asked that we should pray for her. She is in purgatory, surely because she had trusted too little in the mercy of the good Lord. Through her imploring behavior and her profound looks, it seemed she wanted to say, 'You were right. I am now delivered up to the full justice of God, but it is my fault. If I had listened to you, I would not be here now.'" End quote. So the moral of the story is that we can choose the path of justice or that of mercy. Yes, we really are free to choose, but also realize that the measure with which we measure will be measured back to us. See Luke 6:38. In other words, if we choose to treat others with strict justice, then God will be strict with us. If we choose to be merciful to others, then God will be merciful with us. Hear that. To choose the path of mercy means being merciful to others. This is one of the main efforts under the keep trying category for living the little way. So let me repeat. To live the little way, we must be merciful to others. We must strive to show mercy. We must strive to forgive. Otherwise, we cannot hope for mercy. See Matthew 5:7 and 18:21-35. The second potential objection to making the offering to merciful love has to do with those who have begun to feel that they're in a bit too deep with this offering stuff. In other words, they may be saying, quote, "Look, I like divine mercy. I like the divine mercy message and devotion and everything, and I thought I'd do a nice little consecration. But I didn't know about the catch and all this talk about an increased longing for God and all that. Although this may not seem scary to others, it's making me nervous. I mean, what am I getting myself into?" End quote. In answer to that difficulty, let me say this. Yes, the offering to merciful love is a powerful spiritual act, one that should be approached with a certain seriousness. However, keep in mind that the whole focus of the offering is mercy in the God who is all gentleness. Having said that, I do have one suggestion if you're feeling a bit anxious about making it. Say the prayer, "Yes, Lord, I do want to be a saint, but please be gentle." Frankly, that's a prayer I myself often pray, and I can assure you that the Lord has indeed been very gentle with me. But if that's not enough, then please consider Therese's own words about making the offering to merciful love as a little soul. Quote, "I am only a child, powerless and weak, and yet it is my weakness that gives me the boldness of offering myself as victim of your love, O Jesus. In times past, victims, pure and spotless, were the only ones accepted by the strong and powerful God. To satisfy divine justice, perfect victims were necessary. But the law of love has succeeded to the law of fear, and love has chosen me as a holocaust, me, a weak and imperfect creature." End quote. Again, it's Therese's weakness that gave her the boldness to offer herself to merciful love. So if you're feeling maybe too weak to make the offering, that's a good thing. Also, recall that Therese's words here are similar to something else she said, which we read on day 15. "What sweet joy it is to think that God is just," i.e., that he takes into account our weakness, that he is perfectly aware of our fragile nature. What should I fear then? Good question. What should we fear? God is love and mercy itself, and the heart of the little way in the offering is to trust in God. It's true that we're not going to fully understand the whole path. It's true that I cannot tell you exactly how it will all play out, but it will be wonderful. And if there's one thing that Therese wants to say to us, it's this. Trust. Trust in God, who is love and mercy itself. The third and final objection is one that may have arisen in response to the idea that the offering to merciful love is a way of taking the rejected mercy that other people don't want. Now, perhaps that seems selfish. Perhaps it makes us say, "But what about all those poor people who aren't getting the graces that I'm taking?" Well, first of all, keep in mind that the graces we'll be receiving have already been rejected. In other words, people have already said through their words or actions that they don't want them. So these rejected graces are free for the taking. Also, keep in mind that the offering is far from selfish when we aim to do it, above all, to console Jesus. That was St. Therese's intention in making it, and it should be our intention as well. More on this later. One more thing regarding the last objection. When we take the graces that others don't want, we're actually giving them a second chance to receive those graces. Why? Because, again, one of the effects of the offering to merciful love is that it makes our hearts more compassionate. That means we'll be moved to pray for the conversion of hardened sinners, the very same ones who rejected the graces of mercy that we'll be receiving. And so, through our prayers and deeds of mercy that are the fruit of our offering, they'll get a second chance to receive God's mercy. Anyway, that covers three potential objections that may be coming to mind as we prepare to make the offering. Tomorrow, we'll actually delve into Therese's masterpiece, the crowning of her little way, the text of her offering to merciful love. Today's prayer: Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, take away any fears or anxieties I may have about making the offering. All right, friends, there are the three objections, a good kind of opportunity to pause and to reflect back and to take into account our own minds and hearts and just intentions as we continue on through this preparation for the consecration. Were any of the objections ones that resonated with you, or that you have had, or whenever he brought it up, related to? I think for me, I'll get to it. That last objection was certainly one that I'm glad he clarified. And yeah, because it can come off as, that it can be selfish. So anyway, I appreciated that one. More on that. I'll just comment briefly on each one and to see which, if we can appreciate those and ask the Holy Spirit to come and to cast out any unnecessary fear or anxiety as we move through this. So, how about this, Sister Marie Fabroni? I'm sure positive that I'm butchering this beautiful French name. What do you think about, her anecdotally, this idea of Therese's encouraging the sin of presumption by telling us to believe that we can bypass purgatory? Yeah, I think perhaps, and again, like, context means a lot and everything else, but that here Sister Fabroni in having a hard time with it does seem to, in the way that she was a part of this time, this spiritual context, had much more of an inclination to rely on God's justice, And so for Therese to be able to point out the difference of needing to trust more in his mercy really is just a paradigm shift for a lot of those sisters and faithful of that time. But maybe for us as well. Yeah, we're, especially us Westerners, we have this really, really ingrained in reality of justice. We want, if I've waited in line for the grocery store, then if anyone comes to cut in line, no matter what the situation, it's really hard for us to maybe like open up or to amend our ways. And yeah, we just have this expectation. If I've put in my time, then I've come to expect this. And if you haven't, then you don't. And so, that's just like one anecdote, but yeah, many other examples of how we just have ingrained in us that if I put in the time, if I put in the effort, then I get it. And even to punish ourselves too. And if I haven't put in the time, if I haven't put in the effort, then I don't deserve it. Do you find that difficult at all? Like, to receive mercy, to receive generosity? Sometimes, yeah, we can really have it ingrained in us that, well, if I haven't done anything to deserve it, then I can't receive it. That would be wrong. And that's not true, especially when it comes to mercy and the mercy of God. The second potential objection is that perhaps this offering to merciful love is too much, is too beyond what we initially thought it was, or what we thought we were signing up for. That's a great one. Maybe just to ask the Holy Spirit and speaking to the Lord to enlighten in our own hearts that if that is the case at all, if it just seems like this compassionating the Lord, suffering with him, being little, loving our poverty, all of this can maybe sound flowery, but you know, we're getting some real teeth into like what this looks like. And this way of littleness, of poverty, of trust and surrender, it really requires us to change the way that many of us live. And so, yeah, would that be too much for us? And if so, why? And what perhaps is keeping us from following Therese's advice to have trust and confidence and to keep going and to see just the great, great gentleness, the great generosity of the Lord for those who abandon themselves to Him. And then that third one, that third objection that I admitted was one that connected with me, is the selfishness and taking in the graces that have already been rejected. Yeah, that idea of that they're already rejected. Yeah, that seemed to resonate with me. But more than anything else, and I forget if I said this earlier on that podcast, that it's not selfish whenever we aim to do it above all to console Jesus. That it's Him, it's His heart that is our primary goal. It's not to clean up these graces as if at the end, like the divine scoreboard will like be tilted because we were able to snatch the graces that were rejected from others. And it's not like grace points, or my one buddy in seminary used to call them Jesus points. Like if you do this prayer, if you do this novena, if you do this penance, you get like so many Jesus points. And he was of course joking, but some of us act like that too. It's like, what's more? Like to receive Holy Communion or to say the spiritual communion prayer whenever I can. It's like, you know, it's different, but if we start looking at it in like this, quantitative difference, then we get into trouble. So anyway, it's first and foremost about loving Jesus, and it's about, then being free to receive the fruit of compassionating Him in His suffering, in His grief. So, good. Hopefully that was helpful for you. It's helpful for me. Let's keep praying for one another and saying today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, take away any fears or anxieties I may have about making the offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. I'm so grateful to be going through this journey with you. How beautiful is this little way, and to have an incredible guide of St. Therese to be able to be walking with us and leading us more into the greatness of God's mercy and love. I look forward to being with you tomorrow. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Drybones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.